Amen. Dear Lord, we just thank you for Pastor John, dear Lord, and I. We just ask right now that you anoint him, Heavenly Father, that the words that you unspoken, you use him in a mighty way, dear Lord, that it penetrate our hearts, our minds, and our souls, dear Lord, that we just run with the words that you have for us, Heavenly Father. We ask this in your mighty name, and everyone says, amen.
Amen. Have you ever noticed that no matter what the subject is, no matter what the field is, that there are an abundance of experts that are out there that are trying to get your attention? No matter what it is, they always want to tell you what to do. Doesn't matter if it's how to vote, if it's how to eat, where to eat, or how to make your money, or where to invest it, or, you know, what to watch, what group to belong to. That now people even have what they call life coaches. Can you believe that? You need a life coach to tell you how to live your life? So you can pay somebody to call you up every day, encourage you, and tell you, you know, make sure you do this and do that. All these experts with these their so-called wisdom, they're always trying to sell you something, you know? And wouldn't it be nice if there was one place where you could go where the wisdom was always 100% right all the time, and where the cost was free, and where it would come from somebody who loved you so much and they were so intent on helping you that they would be willing to die for you? Oh, I wonder if there's anyone like that. That's exactly the plan that God has for you. And it comes, by the way, with unlimited talk and data. And, you know, you can pray to him anytime you want. You can get into that word anytime you want, all you want. And when we walk in God's wisdom, when we actually live it and walk it, we are then, in reality, proclaiming God's glory to the world. The Apostle Paul had a pretty good understanding about that, about the wisdom of God. And he talks about it, and I want to read this section of Scripture here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." That applied to then, and that applies to now. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Before time began. See, God already determined things for your life before time began. He knew you before you were born, before you were thought about, before your parents were born, before the earth was created, he already knew you. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. That's for sure. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love the Lord? Then God has prepared something for you. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not from the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities. I like that. Explaining spiritual realities, because remember, the spiritual realm is really more real than the realm we live in. It really is. It's the one that the spiritual realm is all around us. It's going to continue for all eternity, where everything on this earth is passing. So the Holy Spirit is explaining spiritual realities to us, with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Don't we see that in the world all around us? They don't want to hear from Christians. They don't want the Bible. They want it kicked out. They don't want to have to deal with it. They don't want to hear the name of Jesus. And they cannot understand them because they are only discerned through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. Makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. But who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's a powerful statement, to say that we have the mind of Christ. True wisdom gives us the ability to think and act like God. And I'm not saying that we're God or anything like that. I'm not saying, but it gives us the ability, and I'm going to show you, to think like God, to get His perspective, and then to live out, to walk out, so we get to think and act like God. It brings God's truth and His understanding into our hearts through the Spirit to help us in our daily decision-making. So we can see it as God would see it, and then act upon it as God would, or how He would have us act upon it. It almost sounds crazy that we can think and act like God if you just say it. But that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to become more and more like His Son. And what did Jesus do? I only do what the Father tells me. I only say what the Father tells me to say. That's why we're told to be led by the Spirit. See, that's how we're able to do it. As we are led by the Spirit. That's how we put on the mind of Christ. When His thoughts become our thoughts, we end up doing His will. Not our will, but His will. And then we not only do His will, but when we do it and others see it, that gives them reason to give glory and honor to God. Remember King Solomon? God called him the wisest man on earth. Pretty amazing, isn't it? To be called that, to know that. Can you imagine if God came and told you you were the best at something on earth, that always, and you always will have been the best no matter what you're doing? That, I couldn't imagine being the best at anything of everybody on earth. But in Kings 3:5, as we enter the story here, David had just died and his son Solomon had just been set in as the king of Israel. And here's what he says in verse 5, 1 Kings 3:5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Ask for whatever you want. Wow. He must have really had favor in God's eyes. We know David did, and this was his son. And remember, God had promised to extend David's earthly kingdom through his son, and that's what he was doing. So he says to Solomon, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon says in verse 7, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. I know I'm not, I don't got it together. How many little kids would know enough to say that? Most little kids, somebody who's a young kid, I can do it, I can do it. You know, isn't that how we do it? But this kid was smart. He was already pretty smart. He was smart enough to say, I don't know. Believe me, that's sometimes the smartest course, is to say, I don't know. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen. There's those chosen people again. A great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. Wow, this is pretty heavy duty for a young kid. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And then in 1 Kings 4:29, it tells us, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. There's another scripture that talks about how he has more wisdom than anyone else ever. God was pleased to give Solomon wisdom because he humbled himself. Because he said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need your help. How do I do this? So he humbled himself, and then he asked God for wisdom, and God gave it to him. God wanted Solomon to govern his people as he would have. And so that's why he gave him his wisdom. Do you think that God would be pleased to give you wisdom when you ask for it? What do you think? Do you think he wants to give you his wisdom to use? Sure he does. Because he wants us to act as he would. He wants us to be able to bring his glory to his name. He wants things in this world done the right way. He wants us to live the right way, to live for him. And so if he gives us wisdom, his wisdom, how else would we act? If we truly had all the wisdom that we could ever have, all the wisdom of the world, if we were the wisest person in the world, we're going to act like God would want us to act, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't be very wise. Because there'd be no better course of action than what God wants us to do. Second Corinthians 5:20 says that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. See, God wants us to be his ambassador. He wants us to speak and act like he would, just like if he was there. That's what an ambassador does. An ambassador for the United States goes to another country and tells that country exactly what this country wants done over there. And that's what God has called us to be, his ambassadors to the world. We're supposed to go out into the world and say what God would have us say, speaking his word, led by his spirit, doing what God would have us do. There never was or ever will be anyone on this earth as wise as Solomon, according to God. But the good news is, you know, and of course, even as wise as he was, he still died, right? In fact, he messed up quite a bit before he died. But he came back around. But he, as wise as he was, he still sinned, because there's no one perfect on this earth except God, right? Except Jesus when he was here. But the good news is that wisdom that Solomon had in him didn't die when Solomon died. You know that? Because that wisdom that he operated in wasn't his. It wasn't his wisdom. It was God's wisdom working inside of him. The wisdom of God. Heavenly wisdom. We're told there's earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Solomon had heavenly wisdom directly from God. He gave it to him. And today, this same wisdom is available to you and to me. That same wisdom. And we may not get it as much as Solomon did. Solomon got a special dispensation. But we still can have a direct line to God's wisdom in our life. Plus, we've got the written word of God, which is the book of wisdom. How can we get hold of this wisdom so we can bring glory to God? What can we do to get hold of this wisdom? That's what I want to talk a little bit about today. Because if we live by that wisdom, if we walk in that wisdom, we're going to bring glory to God. Our life will proclaim God's glory. So what do we do? Do we go to U of M? We go to Michigan State? Do we go to Henry Ford? Where do we go to get a degree in wisdom? Can't be done. You can't get one. True wisdom is not something you can learn at school. We get facts at school, but we don't get wisdom at school. You can't buy it. You can't inherit it. True wisdom comes from God, just like it did for Solomon. Proverbs 9:10 tells us, "Fear the Lord, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Does that mean we're supposed to be afraid of God? No, that's not what that means at all. In fact, we're told in the Word that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What this means is that we are in awe of God. We are in awe of His power. We are in awe of His majesty. We are in awe of His wisdom. We revere Him. We respect Him. And we honor Him to such a degree that we want to believe everything. We want to follow Him in every way. We want to become as much like Him as we can. That's what it means to fear the Lord in that sense. It doesn't mean be afraid of. We believe and obey His Word because we love Him. That's part of that revering. We love Him and we admire Him so much, and because we know that He loves us. Another thing that we need is humility if we want to get that wisdom. Proverbs 11:2 says that when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. If we can't humble ourselves before God, we'll never get wisdom. It isn't going to happen because we wouldn't go to Him to get it. Remember Solomon, that was the first thing. God was so pleased with him because he humbled himself. He said, "I don't know what to do. I know you're God, and I know you took care of my father and you used him in a great and mighty way, and now here I am to follow through, and you got this vast number of people, and I'm supposed to lead them, but God, I don't know what to do. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Help me." So see, Solomon humbled himself. He recognized his lack of wisdom, his lack of understanding. He freely admitted it. He said, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong." He didn't want to do the wrong thing. He wanted to do the right thing. That's wisdom. We need to push aside all our fleshly understanding, all our learning, all our supposed wisdom that we've learned, worldly wisdom, all our knowledge, and we need to instead press in to hear God's voice, to get His wisdom. The next thing we need to do is pretty simple. We find it in James 1:5, and it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." See, God doesn't say, "Well, you know, you really messed up over here. I'm not giving you wisdom." We all mess up, right? That's why we need wisdom. And God knows that. He's wise. He's wise beyond our understanding. And He knows we make a mess of things. He knows how much we blow it all the time. Every day of our life, we blow it in some way. God says, "Oh man, I wish He'd ask for some of my wisdom." And so He said, ask me. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask. Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to him. So first we honor and respect God. We revere Him. Then we humble ourselves. And then we ask. We ask for wisdom. Asking God for wisdom is not a one-time deal either. You know that, right? God doesn't immediately fill us up with all the wisdom that we will ever need for our life. Well, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? God, can I have wisdom? Sure, son. Okay, now we're, you know, we know everything to do for the rest of our life, just like that. That wouldn't be too wise on God's part. And there's a reason for that. He wouldn't give it to all of it because there's a reason. We need to be going back to God. We need to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to come to Him on a regular basis. And needing and seeking and asking and humbling ourselves and revering Him, that's all part of coming back to God over and over and over so that we get to know Him. So that we get to understand Him. We learn of Him. You were with the men's meeting last week with Keith. We learn. Remember he said, first you got to learn. You learn about God. You learn to love Him. And then we can lead others. It's just like man in the desert. God could have given them enough food for a long time, but He didn't. Every morning they had to go out and get fresh food. Every morning. In fact, if they tried to store it up, remember what happened to it? It got filled with worms, didn't it? It went rotten and got filled with worms. He purposely didn't let them store the food, keep the food, because then they wouldn't need God that day. Now they had to trust God and go out and collect fresh manna, except for the day of rest. Then it was okay. Luke 12, 11 and 12 says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. You see, God can give us the ability to speak by His Spirit and even speak with authority. Maybe about something we didn't even know. Remember when the Sanhedrin and all the Jewish leaders brought the apostles in and they said, these guys are speaking with all this authority, and it's like, who are these ordinary, unschooled guys that they come in here and they speak to us like they know what's going on? Because they were led by God. They were led by the Spirit of God. Remember when Jesus was only 12 years old? And the leaders in the temple were all sitting around learning from Him, thinking, wow, this kid's, he's got something here. He's smart, he's wise, we don't know, where does he get all this wisdom from? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Even at 12. This leads us right back to the next area that we need. And that's, you know, to get this heavenly wisdom, and that's that we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we'll never be able to operate in the wisdom that God wants us to. The Holy Spirit, you know, is also called the Spirit of Wisdom. In Ephesians 1:7, Paul's speaking, and he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. You see, wisdom, if we're truly operating in wisdom, even now, if we were even wise in the way of the world, we would figure out that to know God is the best way. But the wisdom of this world just doesn't quite make it. So we really need the Holy Spirit. If there was such wisdom in this world, I mean, there are people in the world who realize the Bible's an important book, but people that don't have the Holy Spirit at all, they don't want to love God. They don't want to submit their life to God. They don't want to die to themselves. They got an amount of wisdom, partial wisdom, but it just doesn't quite get it. Colossians 1:9 says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. See, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives us heavenly wisdom. The wisdom of God. The wisdom that we need as Christians. This goes all the way back to the very first scripture that I was reading when I first started in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just going to read just a portion of that, starting at 2:9, 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived." See, we just can't get it. We can get some of it. We might be able to realize, like, wow, that's, I know that book's important. But we're not going to understand it. We're not going to really get hold of it. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining, there it is again, that spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. It doesn't matter what we hear. Doesn't matter what we read or what we study or what we do, if we are not led by the Spirit of God, we can only go so far with that. We'll never be walking in true heavenly wisdom. I mean, we may get it right sometimes. A broken clock gets the right time twice a day, right? And so we're going to, yeah, sometimes we'll hit the right thing. Because there is wisdom, and somebody can read the Word of God that's not a Christian, and if they're smart enough, they can pick up some of the truths that are in there and live by them and get some benefit from it. There's benefit in the Word of God to anybody who reads it, but they're not really going to be walking in heavenly wisdom. They're not going to know how to respond in different situations. They're not going to know how to they're not going to be able to get close to God. They just can't do it. The Holy Spirit lives to bring glory to God. The Holy Spirit is here for us on this earth. Jesus said, I have to die so I can go to heaven, be with my Father, and send back the promised Holy Spirit for us. So we could have that connection to God, so we could get that wisdom to walk in, so we could use that wisdom to live the kind of life that would bring glory and honor to God. We as Christians, we're the vessels that the Holy Spirit will use, that God will use, to proclaim His greatness to the world. He fills us, He leads us, And he uses us as His vessel, as His chosen person, just like Solomon was chosen, Peter, Paul, whoever, you know. We have been chosen now to show forth the glories of God, to bring praises to His name, to honor Him, to help lead others to Him. And of course, we can't forget the Word of God, the greatest source of wisdom here on this earth. There's no better place to go for something we can just look at and say, wow, this is wisdom. Of course, we need the Holy Spirit to help us read that book. The Holy Spirit is the one who led people, wrote the Word of God as they were led by the Spirit. And now if we want to really be able to read it and understand it, we have to be led by the Spirit. So it's almost like a secret, you know, decoder ring. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us read the truth, get the truth out of that book. But that book, the Bible, the written word, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with us. The word was God. And then the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So you see, the book is Jesus in written form, in reality. That's what it comes down to. It's God in written form. It's in 2 Timothy, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. So that the man of God and the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's the key to wisdom that's here on this earth. It's a great source of wisdom. I just out of curiosity, I wanted to find out how many Bibles have been sold. I looked up the last 50 years, 3.9 billion Bibles. 3.9 billion Bibles sold since, what, 1970? That's a lot of Bibles. And those Bibles are still probably, most of them are still in existence. And every year, it's the number one selling book. They don't show it on the New York Times list. But it's been the number one selling book since it's been written. Well, since it was printed. 3.9 billion sold. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living. What other book is alive? You ever see a book living and breathing? I mean, we don't see it, you know, when we read it. But that Word, I'm telling you, there's something about that Word. When you read it, it does something. It is really alive. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Only God's Word can teach us His thoughts. I mean, the Holy Spirit can give us things, but it's the Word of God where we can see it, we can write, we can go and study it and learn it. It's there for us. It rebukes us when we think wrong. It consoles us when we're hurt. It instructs us when we need instruction. It teaches us about Jesus. It teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to have a church, how to behave. It teaches us how to treat one another, how to love one another. It teaches us everything we need to know. His Word can be alive inside of us. And the Holy Spirit then uses that Word to stir us up. Remember, He brings to remembrance everything that Jesus said. And who's Jesus? The Word. The Holy Spirit can bring the Word out right when we need it. We might have read it one time 10 years ago, thought, don't even think it's there. And somehow, when the Holy Spirit needs to bring it out, He brings it right back out. The Word is what will help us put on the mind of Christ and walk in godly wisdom. God's Word is the final authority. It complements, it supports, it authorizes the things that we do as we are led by the Spirit of God. It's all the things we just talked about revering God, honoring God, bringing glory to His name, asking God. You know, all those different things, being led by the Spirit, all that, the Word backs all that up. It's our final authority. The Word of God is the greatest proclaimer of God's glory on this earth. And when it's alive in us, and when it's being like sort of empowered by the Spirit of God, we become a living epistle. I mean, it's not written down in the Word, and we're certainly not foolproof. I'm not saying that. But if we're really acting in the wisdom of God, if we're following the Word of God, as we are led by the Spirit of God, we become a living epistle that is being broadcast to the world. Bringing glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If I could have the prayer team come forward, I just want to say one last thought about, I was thinking about this after I was all done with it, and just sort of mulling the whole thing over in my mind last night. And the thought that God gave to me was that God always wants to give us His wisdom. He always wants to give us His wisdom. So don't think God doesn't want you to be wise. He says to ask, and He will give it to all generously without finding fault. So He wants to give us His wisdom, because if it's truly His wisdom that we operate in, if we're actually taking that wisdom and walking in it, then God's will is going to be accomplished on this earth. His will be accomplished in this world. And that's what He wants. And we'll be proclaiming His glory wherever we go, whatever we do. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You so much. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You, Lord, that You have made and You make Your wisdom available to us, Your people. Lord, we ask, I ask right now, Father, that You would fill us with a fresh anointing of Your wisdom. Lord, we need it. We always need it. There's no time when we don't need it. God, help us to walk in godly wisdom, in heavenly wisdom, and that we would, as we walk in that wisdom, that we would not hide it, but instead that we would proclaim through that wisdom Your glory to the world. Thank You, God. We thank You that You have blessed us in so many ways. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.